there. This is John from the freegiftfromgod.com podcast. And today I'm extending on from what I started last time. Last session we looked at speaking in tongues. And I said at the end of that that this is a very powerful weapon in our arsenal for spiritual warfare. And that's what I want to look at today. I want to look at spiritual warfare. So today the objectives are to understand the source of the spiritual war we're in as Christians, to understand who and what it is we are fighting in the spiritual realm. We need to recognise where and how the war is being waged, and to also recognise and understand the weapons we need to be able to fight in this spiritual war. So in overview, spiritual warfare is a critical element of the war for every Christian. We are at war, and we need to understand this and learn how to fight the war in the spiritual realm. God has given us weapons to be able to wage this war. And even though we have the victory in Christ Jesus, the spiritual forces of opposition are still actively engaged against those who choose to follow Christ. If we're to live, we need to fight the good fight and know how to fight. So the first scripture I want to have a look at is in Revelation chapter 12. And there's a couple of sections that I want to have a look at here. The first bit starts from verse 7 down to 13. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they were defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who was called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. Rejoice then, O heaven, and you that dwell therein. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had borne the male child. Now, there's a lot of things in this particular scripture. First thing, it's fascinating. When you think about heaven, you don't think about it as being a place of war. Heaven seems to be the most unlikely place for a war to exist. But that's where the spiritual war started and where we are at war. We're at war in the spiritual realm. The war all Christians are engaged in is a war in the spirit. This war began when Satan chose to defy God, and he also took down one third of the angels who are now the demons. And this is who we're fighting. For it's the will of the devil to subjugate and to destroy mankind, especially those who choose to stand with Christ. Now, skipping down in that same chapter, there's one more verse I want to read, which is the last verse in the chapter, verse 17. And it says, Then the dragon was angry with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and bear testimony to Jesus. Now, this is quite an interesting verse, this last verse. It's quite telling because it says that because he lost, the devil that is, because the devil lost against Christ and God, he's now making war against the children of God, on those who follow the commandments of God and those who follow Jesus Christ. And that's us. Now, the other fascinating thing about this verse is there are two groups of people that he's fighting against. He talks about those who follow the commandments of God. Now, this is everyone who is under the law. These are the commandments, the law and commandments that was given by Moses. So anyone under the old covenant, and that includes the Jews and anyone in the church today who follows under the commandments of God, are being attacked by the devil. So that's the first group. The second group is those who follow Jesus Christ. Because one of the things that Jesus came to do was to set us free from the law. So we're no longer under the commandments when we believe and when we know how freedom from law works. But either way, whether you're under the law following the commandments or you're set free from the law following Jesus Christ, the devil's going to attack you. Because either of those groups of people are the people who are on the side of God. And that's who he wants to destroy. He wants to destroy the people of God. He can't get at Christ, can't get at God directly, so he's going to attack them through us. The next scripture I want to look at is in 1 Peter chapter 5 reading verses 6 to 10. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you. Cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares about you. Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering is required of your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, establish, and strengthen you. Now, this last scripture told us the devil was waging war on Christians. That was the scripture in Revelation. Here, we see Peter telling us the same thing. The devil is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. But he's like a lion in that he roars to try and drown out good sense and the word of God. The devil fills the world, and he has filled the world, and unfortunately he has filled much of the church also with lies, with false teaching to attack the word of God and to subjugate the people of God. He wants people believing what is false, and so he has filled the world with false teaching, but he's also managed to get into the church, and there's a lot of false teachings in the church. Now, we have victory when we resist him and stand firm against him in the face of his attacks. When we draw near to God, the devil flees because he cannot stand to be in the presence of God. And even though we may suffer, when we have been through the testing times, the Lord will come and he will restore us, establish us, strengthen us. And this is his promise. The devil will attack us, but he won't have the victory, not while we keep looking to Christ. The next verse in James chapter 4, verses 1 to 8 says this: What causes wars and what causes fightings among you? Is it not your passions that are at war in your members? You desire and do not have, so you kill. And you covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and wage war. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Unfaithful creatures, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is in vain that the scripture says, He yearns jealously over the spirit which he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace, therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you men of double mind. The spiritual war that's being waged by the devil is a war on our weaknesses, on our passions, our desires, and our lusts. It's a war of passion, and the devil uses every opportunity to inflame our passions so that we will do what is wrong or want to do what is wrong. We'll desire what is wrong through the inflammation of our passions. If you happen to have a passion that's particularly strong, and look, most people have got some passion that is unique, well, not unique, but they have a problem with. It might be jealousy, it might be envy, it might be anger, it might be violence, it might be any one of a number of things. But if you happen to have one of those things, those are the things, those are your weaknesses, and the devil will attack you on those things. He'll seek every opportunity to inflame your passion so that you go and do the wrong thing. And then, of course, what happens after that? You feel guilty. You condemn yourself, and that makes it even worse. This is why we need these weapons of spiritual warfare, especially speaking in tongues that I spoke about last time. If you haven't listened to that, I suggest you have a listen to it because it will tell you how you can overcome these passions through speaking in tongues. But coming back to what we're talking about here, the fight that we have on our hands is to resist our passions and to fight off the advances of the devil who is inflaming us to do evil. We do this by walking in the Spirit and seeking the Lord in all ways. We need to apply the weapons God has provided us for spiritual warfare, and these will be covered shortly. Most of all, we need to humbly draw near to God to try at all times to do what's pleasing to God and to learn these things. And that's what he says there. In verse 7, you'll note it says, Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. But he goes on, he says, Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Now, when we submit ourselves to God, because the devil can't beat God, when we submit ourselves to God, when we draw near to God, of course the devil is going to flee from you. And the reason why he flees from you is because he can't be in the presence of God. We can come into the presence of God through grace, through faith, through believing what God did for us in Jesus Christ. But the devil can't come near to God. So when we draw near to God, the devil has to flee because he can't stand in the presence of God. In the next scripture, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, we find this. Beloved, I beseech you as aliens and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh that wage war against your soul. Again, what we see here is that it is the human passions and weaknesses, our lusts and desires, that are at war within us. This is where the battleground for spiritual supremacy is being fought. It's being fought in our hearts and in our minds. When we allow our passions to take control of us, we're no longer walking in the spirit, but in the flesh. The battle we have is to defeat the flesh and the sinfulness that is part of every man. Jesus has set us free from sin, but passions, lusts and desires in the inner man is what leads people to sin. When we are driven by these things, or our emotions, we can't and we don't think rationally. When passion leads us, we are not being led by the Holy Spirit. This is why we have to abstain from all of those things that tear us down and overcome us. This is why we must employ the whole armour of God to defeat our inner weaknesses and so receive the victory that comes through the Holy Spirit and through Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 15 to 22, we see these words. Forsaking the right way, they have gone astray and they have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved gain from wrongdoing, but was rebuked for his own transgression. A dumb ass spoke with human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. These are waterless springs and mists driven by a storm. For them, the nether gloom of darkness has been reserved. For, uttering loud boasts of folly, they entice with licentious passions of the flesh men who have barely escaped from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a man, to that he is enslaved. For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overpowered, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, the dog turns back to his own vomit, the sow is washed only to wallow in the mire. The tragedy of this spiritual war is that the devil has gained a foothold in the church. The people Peter is writing about here are not just those who are in the world, but also some in the church as well. They are in the church for their own purposes and not the will of God. They come in to destroy the church through false and misleading teachings. They promise new Christians freedom, but then tie them up in rules and laws, financial burdens and more. These men come in to steal and destroy, and new Christians who don't have the depth of understanding are easy prey. And this is part of the war that we have to face. They are emissaries of the evil spiritual realm. They may look good on the surface, but underneath they are ravenous wolves in sheep's clothing. The next scripture is in Romans chapter 7, verses 22 to 25. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, and making me captive to the law of sin which dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I, of myself, serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. This is where the battleground of this spiritual war exists. It's in the mind and in the hearts of the people of God. Paul talks about another law being at war in his flesh against the law of God. That other law is the passions and desires and lusts of the flesh, that is sort of the law of sin, for want of a name. Passion leads us to sinfulness, and it exists in every person on this planet. But we have the victory over sin through Jesus Christ, and through him we are able to be delivered from this body of flesh with its passions, lusts and desires. In Christ, we have been granted by grace to receive the Holy Spirit who fights the war in the spiritual realm for us and with us. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 17 to 20, we say this. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory for ever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophetic utterances which pointed to you, that inspired by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. By rejecting conscience, certain persons have made shipwreck of their faith, among them Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Paul encouraged Timothy here to wage the good warfare. The war is a war in the spiritual realm. We see here a beginning on how we are to wage this war. We need to hold fast to our faith in Jesus Christ as first and foremost in importance. Faith will overcome many of the attacks of Satan. And secondly, we need to hold fast a good conscience so that we are not condemning ourselves and opening the way for the devil to attack us. When we follow Jesus, walking in the Spirit and applying the weapons of our warfare, our conscience remains clear. And even if we fall, the faith we have in Christ that we are set free from sin, set free from law and condemnation, enables us to hold fast to a clear conscience. This is critical to waging the war in the Spirit. The next scripture is in Revelation chapter 2, verse 16. Repent then, if not, I will come to you soon and war against them with the sword of my mouth. Now, probably the most active weapon in the arsenal of the weapons given to us by God is evident here. Jesus speaks of the sword of my mouth. What he's referring to is the words of his mouth, which are the words of the gospel and the new covenant that we have in the Bible. We are given the words of Jesus and the new covenant in the New Testament. And as Jesus will wage war with the sword of his mouth, so too we need to be armed with this same sword. We need to be immersed in and absorb the words of the Bible so that we can answer back any of the attacks of the devil with Scripture, just as Jesus did when he was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights by the devil. We will see also that one of the items of the armour of God in the next verses, or shortly, is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is by immersing ourselves in the Word of God that we arm the Holy Spirit with the sword to be able to fight for us. He will bring the Scriptures to our remembrance when we need them to fight. But we need to arm the Spirit by learning the Scriptures deeply. And we'll have a look at the armour of God now over in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 to 18. Therefore, take the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the equipment of the gospel of peace. Besides all these, taking the shield of faith, with which you can quench all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keeping alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Now, one of the primary scriptures teaching us how to wage war in the Spirit is this description of the armour of God. Each piece of the armour is essential to protect ourselves against the devil in this war, and to also be able to fight back. As I mentioned in the last verse, we arm the Holy Spirit by immersing ourselves in learning the words of the Lord. And it's in the same way that we learn what the other items of armour are and how they help us to be able to stand in the face of the enemy in this war. And look at how each item of armour relates to different parts of the body to protect it. We cover our midsection with truth so we can move freely forward. We walk in the gospel of peace. We protect our vital organs with righteousness by faith in the breastplate. And we can quench all of the flaming attacks of the devil by standing behind the shield of our faith and so on. And that's a very interesting one, because if you think about the soldiers, particularly you think back to medieval times and Roman times and so on, the shields that they held were big shields. They could stand behind the shield and hide themselves so that the arrows couldn't get through. And that's what he's saying here. Stand behind your faith. Regardless of what the devil throws at you, stand behind your faith. Because while we have faith and we don't have doubt, we will defeat the devil and all of his flaming attacks will just burn out. Importantly is the fact that we need all the pieces of the armour. He doesn't say take a couple, doesn't take one or two. We need to get all of the pieces of the armour to stand. If we miss just one, then we're vulnerable to the attacks of the devil. And some of these can cause us to die spiritually if they are missing. It's critical to learn what these items of armour are and how they are deployed to protect us and enable us to fight. Now, the last scripture I want to have a look at is in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 6. For though we live in the world, we are not carrying on a worldly war. For the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle to the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Finally, we must remember that this war is not a physical war, it's a spiritual war. Our enemies are in the spiritual realm, and although people may be used against us, they are simply pawns in a spiritual power play. The true battleground is in our mind, and to that end, we must learn to capture our thoughts and feelings and destroy the negatives that lead to sinfulness. We take every thought captive using the power of the words of God and the working of the Holy Spirit in order to keep our conscience clear. And as I said earlier in this session and also in the last session on speaking in tongues, we capture those emotions that well up within us, those passions, those lusts that might lead us astray. We capture them, we speak in tongues, we pray over them, we study the word to be able to have the Holy Spirit step in as we walk in the Spirit and crush those things down, to destroy the strongholds, to destroy the powers that stand against us, to destroy the arguments in our own head, and every proud obstacle to the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive to obey Christ. So, a few questions. Do you realise, as a Christian, that you are at war? Do you realise that you're at war as a Christian? Secondly, do you understand all of the pieces of armour of God and how to use them in this spiritual war? And third, do you regularly study the Bible to learn the scriptures and immerse yourself in His word? And the purpose of that is one of those pieces of armour was the sword of the Spirit. And the sword is not the Spirit. Some people have this belief that the Spirit is the sword. No, it's not. The sword is the Word of God, which is what the Scripture says. But by putting the Word of God into us, we are creating the sword that the Spirit can then wield in the times of war, in the times of battle, when He needs to. A call to action. Study the Bible regularly by reading it, meditating on what the Word is saying. Think about it. In this, you are arming the Holy Spirit. Secondly, pray constantly to the Lord for insight and understanding of His Word. Now, I've said many times that we need to think about the Word. We need to be taught by God. You'll hear men say things. You'll hear your pastors and preachers and ministers and so on, and they will preach things from the platform. But there are also false teachings in the church, and we don't know who it is that's actually speaking these false teachings. So we need to check everything. And the only way you can do that is go back into the Word, read Scripture for yourself, and gain the understanding. And pray about it. Pray to the Lord about it. Seek to receive the Holy Spirit. Get the gifts of God, speaking in tongues and so on. Because with these things, you'll be able to do battle in this spiritual war. So a prayer point right now. Spend just a few moments in prayer now to seek the Lord for understanding of this war we are in, how to fight it, how to receive the victory in Jesus Christ. Ask the Lord for His help in the areas you do not understand so that you can grow stronger and more able to fight this spiritual war. So that's it for this session. In the next session, we're going to continue in this vein by looking specifically at one of the greatest of weapons of warfare that there is. We're going to look at prayer. And it's very important that we pray, very important that all of us have a prayer life. And I know some are better at it than others, but it's important. So we're going to look at that in the next session. So until the next time we're together, I hope that you've got something useful and valuable out of this. I hope that you can now wage this spiritual war against the devil and against his minions. And I hope and pray that that you'll come back again next week as we look at prayer. So until next time, this is John from the freegiftfromgod.com podcast signing off and wishing you a blessed week. God bless.